Come on, who's thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for your life? Come on, he's making all things right, rewriting your history, connecting you to your destiny. Come on, that's good news. Someone ought to be excited about that today. All right, if you got your Bible with you this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And just be patient. We'll get there here in a little bit. What a special morning, you know, just so thankful for everything that the Lord's already done. And just a privilege and honor it is to support these precious families and as they present their children before the Lord. And I just feel compelled to encourage you with something this morning. And Beth touched on it a little bit, but it just deserves to be called out a little bit more and Jesus glorified just a little bit longer this morning. And I was reminded as I was looking at, we were praying for some of these precious couples, that there were many stories of persevering faith that were represented this morning in both the 9 a.m. service and the 11 o'clock service. And I want to encourage you this morning, if there's something that you're longing for, if there's something that you're hoping for, if there's something that you're trusting for, even specifically, maybe you're here this morning and you're trusting God for a baby, you're trusting God for children of your own. There's many testimonies. I just looked around and I marveled at it this morning, that more than one, there were four or five different couples that were part of those families this morning who stood at this very altar in this very building in a different season, a year or two or three years ago. And we prayed with them and we agreed with them that God would deliver them to this promise, and that in that season, they were more connected with the pain of a loss or the hope that seemed to be deferred and could have caused their heart to become sick and could have caused them to forfeit or give up the promise of God and the dream of God. But I'm telling you that we really do serve a way maker. It's more than just a good new worship song. It's the truth about the God that we serve. Come on, if you're going to put your hands together, put them together like you really mean it this morning. I'm just telling you. I hadn't realized it until real time as we were praying for these people, that just a few years ago, we stood right here with one of those couples and right here with another one of those couples, and we prayed and we trusted God. And what an amazing day to now be standing back in the same place, giving thanks for the promise of God that he's delivered into their life. And I don't know what it is for you, and I don't know what it'll look like for you. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our ways. Maybe you're expecting it to come packaged like this, and he's got something different. And if he does, I'm telling you, you better believe it. It's because it's better. And it might seem difficult. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep persevering. Do what those precious couples did and come and allow people of faith to gather around you and speak over your life and pray God's word and God's will. How many know it's true that there is a better word? God's word, God's blood, the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, is speaking a better word. It's speaking life. And there's a word maybe that the enemy has come to try to brand you with or try to cause you to settle with. And I'm telling you today, in faith, by the Spirit of God, that there's a better word that God desires to begin to speak over your life, to resurrect and restore and renew and deepen your hope for the future that he has for you. And come on, the people of God, somebody ought to say amen. It's true. Well, this morning we're starting a new series called Legacy. And I'm so excited about what the Lord's going to do. I believe that this message is critical to the heart of God. It's important to the heart of God. And it's critical to us that we might fulfill and accomplish the thing that God has created us for. Did you know? Listen, you need to hear me this morning. God created you for a kingdom purpose. It's not just for the person to your left or to the person to your right. I'm telling you this morning, God created you to make a difference in the world today. And you are not an accident. God doesn't make accidents. You are here by design for a purpose and a reason. And there's something significant that God has called you to do and to be. And here's the thing is, it goes beyond you and me. It's about the future. What God's doing in your own life, sometimes we can get so caught up in the chapter of the story that we forget that God's writing a big picture. God's painting a big picture. God's writing a substantial book. There are many more chapters that are yet to come. There are children and grandchildren, either in the natural or spiritually, that we are yet to even see, that we are yet to even imagine, but God sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He sees it all. And we're a part of that plan. And this day, the way that we live today matters to that plan. And let me encourage you with the truth, and it's a simple truth, but it's the reality for every one of us. You don't have a choice about whether or not you leave a legacy. Every one of us is leaving a legacy. The choice that we have is, what will it be? Because your life is influencing someone. And people are looking at you. The way that you, I'm telling you, the way that we live as the men and women of God, called by His name, it matters. It matters to God, and it matters to the people that God has entrusted us to relate to, and especially with those closest to us, our family, this church, your co-workers, this city, this region. Listen, God has called us to make a difference, individually and corporately. And can I just tell you that there's what God desires to do in your life and what God desires to do in and through us as a church, it's almost always bigger than we ask, think, or imagine. That's what God's word says. There's something bigger than maybe what we've allowed your heart or allowed your mind to imagine. God wants to do something significant through your life. And you know, several years ago, my wife Amity and I, we've just been so honored and so humbled and so blessed to serve as pastors in this church for 4 years now. And God has begun to just stir. He's begun to stir just a bigger vision, a bigger dream about what's really possible and about what He desires to do in and through us, the influence that He's called us. Come on, you and me. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's about you and me. Come on, look at someone next to you. It's about us. It's not about one person. It's not about the elders. It's not about the deacons. It's not about the Sunday school teachers. It's not just about the altar team. It's not just about the worship team. It's us. It's us. We're better together. Come on, look at your other neighbor who's your second choice and tell them that. We're better together. We're better together. We're better together. There's something substantial that God's doing. And so God just began to just visit us as elders and as a staff and me personally. I mean, I'm telling you, God just began to enlarge the concept of what's possible and what He desires to do in and through us individually and corporately. And how many of you believe that America needs a revival? America needs a revival. Our nation is at a tipping point. I'm just telling you, our nation is at a tipping point. And here's the good news. Isaiah 59 says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord God will raise up a standard against him. And there might seem to be a flood of godlessness and lawlessness and rebellion and pride and indifference or even opposition to God and anything that has to do with Jesus and the Word of God, but I'm telling you that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the heart of God is to raise up a standard against him. And we have the opportunity to be part of God's solution in this day, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, and to understand that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I'm just telling you, Lawrence, Kansas, and I'm just telling you, these United States of America are not so lost. They are not beyond the arm of the Lord to be saved. God's looking for a people who will begin to believe that He is who He says He is, that His word is true, and that He'll do what He says He'll do. And His part is to provide the power, but our part is to provide the partnership and say, God, use us. God, use us. And that's what legacy is all about, us answering the call of God and recognizing that God's doing something bigger. Come on, it's so easy. It's so easy. I'm guilty as charged oftentimes to just fall into that spirit of me, myself, and I. What's in this for me, and what's best for me, and what feels the best to me? But legacy is about recognizing that God's writing a story that goes beyond you, that there really is a future generation. I'm just telling you, I'll say it several times throughout this message, you don't have a choice about whether or not you leave a legacy. But you do have a choice about what that legacy will be. And the decisions that you make on a daily basis matter to God. And they matter to the people that God's entrusted into your life. God's just stirring faith. And I trust, and it's why I'm sharing this with you, because I trust that God will begin to stir fresh faith. For some of you, maybe this is going to be a reminder about some things. A reminder of who you are in Christ, of your identity, a reminder of what God's brought you out of and what He's called you to. And for some of you, maybe this is going to be a fresh revelation, the first time you're ever hearing this. But either way, I pray and I hope that something sparks on the inside of your heart and something begins to come to life in a new way, in a fresh way, and it begins to compel you to make different decisions, and it begins to challenge you to live differently and to pursue Christ and grow in Him and to grow in His nature and to grow in His character and to begin to give your life away and live sacrificially. That's the call of discipleship. And it's the pattern that Jesus Christ has laid out for us. And He's stirring faith. Come on, I'm just telling you, there's something bigger than what you've allowed your mind to imagine that God's called you to. But here's the thing, anywhere where there's power, anywhere where there's potential, anywhere where there's promise, Come on, if you've been to Rev City long, you've heard me say this maybe more than once. You better expect that the enemy's going to come and he's going to oppose it. And some of you, the resistance that you're feeling and the heaviness that you're feeling is a spirit of opposition from the enemy of your soul, because he knows how dangerous you are. If your heart catches fire and you begin to live out and pursue and chase the dream that God has, not just for you, but for your marriage, for your family, for your church, for your workplace, for your city, for your region, for this nation, God's stirring faith. God's stirring faith. And as God began to visit us in our eldership, and I'm just telling you, when we meet as elders, we pray every time. If there's anything that we do, when we gather, we pray. We say, Lord, we need your wisdom. This church belongs to you. We're just here as stewards, and we desire to hear what you're speaking, what you're saying, what you're leading us to do and to be as a church. Because if we can hear that, that's where the anointing of God rests and the blessing of God rests. And God began to show us how he's building on a legacy of faithfulness and on a legacy of servanthood in this church, and that he desires to use us in a great and mighty way. And I'm just telling you, why not us? Why not us? Why not? Why can't God use us? And as he began to just stir faith for our future, the Lord just began to just do a work in my heart of deep gratitude. I mean, I'm telling you, something that really just gripped my soul and just began to just minister to me in a deep way, this profound sense of gratitude for those who have gone before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says it this way. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run our race. Let us throw off. Go to the next slide if you don't mind. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out before us. And I'll never forget Pastor Peter Willems, who pastored this church for 19 years previous to me, on the Sunday where he handed off, he literally, figuratively and spiritually, but he literally physically handed a baton and put it in my hand. And the race that I'm running, I'm running in light of a great cloud of witnesses. And the race that you're running, you're not running on your own. There's a spiritual family that God's intended to connect you with, and there's encouragement, and there's strength, and there's equipping that God intends to bring into your life so that you, in a fresh way or a new way, can begin to run the race that God's called you to. And we begin to sense and hear that God really has some big ideas and some big plans and some big dreams for us, individually and corporately. I'm just telling you, it's true. Individually, there's going to be many people who God uses in a great and mighty way. There are new ministries that are going to be birthed, and there are songs that are going to be written, and there are books that are going to be written, and there are businesses that are going to be built that are going to be used of God to resource the move of God and the furthering of the gospel in this day and in this hour. There are many individual callings that God is going to move upon people and bless people, but then corporately, we really believe God wants to use Rev City Church to revive the heart of our nation. And when God called us here, I said, Lord, why Lawrence, Kansas? Why are you taking us to Lawrence, Kansas? There's a lot of different places that you could go. We stepped out in faith, and we didn't know where it would be. And I said, Lord, why Lawrence, Kansas? And he said, I'm calling you to the heart of the nation because I'm after the heart of the nation. And I believe, why not us? Why not here? Why not us, and why not now? Come on, look at your neighbor, someone close to you, say, why not us? Why not here? Why not now? If not us, then who? If not us, then who? Are we going to wait for someone else to answer the call, someone else to stand up? We need the people of God to once again, and churches that are called by his name, and pastors who have the privilege of standing in pulpits like this one, to begin to boldly proclaim that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to have compassion for people that are lost and are hurting. Come on, we were lost not far, too far ago ourselves. Don't forget where you came from. Why would we expect people that are lost and hurting to make godly decisions, you know? They need to encounter Jesus before they'll start to really live right. And we still don't have it figured out ourselves, by the way. We never graduate from grace. But we need churches to begin to be filled with compassion that moves us with conviction. To step out in courage and begin to boldly preach and declare that Jesus is the way. And there's a God who loves you so much that he's sent his son to pay the price and overcome and rescue you from the weight of the guilt and the sin and the shame that the enemy has tried to put upon your back. It's what that scripture says. Let us throw off those things that are holding you back, that are hindering you, that are keeping you from running this race. God's got something big in store for you. There's a legacy that God's called you to pick up upon and begin to run with and begin to deepen and broaden and begin to leave something for a future generation. I pray it often for my own children. That my ceiling, that the highest, the pinnacle of what I'm able to achieve in knowing God and serving God and understanding God's word and building something for God's kingdom, that my ceiling would become the floor for my children. That because of faithfulness and because of the grace of God, that I'm able to hand something off to my kids. I'm able to put that baton in their hand, that baton of faith, and say, now go run the race that God's called you to. As we begin to sense that God was stretching our faith and preparing us for how he wants to move in us and through us and for us, the Lord began to do that deep work in my life. Just gratitude for those who have come before us. And the Lord began to give us instructions. We began to say, Lord, okay, what's our part? We believe that you are who you say you are. And we believe that this is what you're up. And we see our culture that desperately needs a wave of revival that leads to repentance and restoration of reverence for God restored and a restoration of people walking in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ empowered by the Spirit of God. And we see all those things. What's our part to play practically? We begin to say, Lord, what would you have us to do? And every time we gather, we ask that. And one time when we were gathered, the Lord just began to speak to us and show us that one of the things that we were called to do is to renovate this facility. And I believe that over the years, the Lord Jesus Christ will call us to acquire many pieces of land and build many buildings and do many things that stand for his glory and that exist. Come on, we only build buildings because of people. We build buildings because we're called to reach and host people and host the presence of God and see people encounter the presence of God. But the Lord began to challenge us, and I believe that I say this often too, that the pathway to the new, the next, and the more of God, I believe there's many things that God will call us to do, ministries that he'll cause us to ministries that will be birthed through this church, and additional cities and campuses and churches that we will plant and send teams and send leaders and multiply our efforts to reach more people for the glory of God and to help be a part of that revival that America needs. But one of the first things that the Lord began to put on our heart is bring renewed excellence to this facility. Steward this facility well. What I've already put in your hand, again, the pathway to the new, the next, or the more of God. It's always faithfulness with the now of God. And there's some other things that God's preparing you for, shaping you for, and the pathway to it always includes and never excludes faithfulness with what you have in your hand right now. The ministry that God's entrusted to you right now. Maybe some of you are called to stand on great platforms and preach and declare and sing and shout the words of God and preach mighty sermons and sing worship songs from heaven. But right now, the assignment that you have is serving in the coffee ministry or serving in the children's ministry. Just be faithful with that thing and trust God. In due time, you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he has a way of exalting you. And so we began to just say, okay, Lord. And we began to walk through our building and just recognize that this building had been used and used well. And the only reason that we have the opportunity to renovate this building, and come on, who's thankful and grateful for some of the signs of progress that we see? Come on, it's so exciting. It's so exciting and encouraging and to see it begin to be transformed and to see what was once just a word from God and a leading from God. That's where it started. We didn't start with the blueprints in our hands. We just started with the stirring in our heart. We stepped out and we began to pursue the plans and we began to pray and we began to cast vision to the church, and you guys responded in a wave of generosity that allowed us to initiate those plans and initiate the wave of construction that you see happening now. But the only reason that we have the privilege of renovating a building is because there was faith and generosity that was stirred in a previous season among a previous generation of this church to step out and buy land and build a building. And that's what legacy is all about. Us just saying, Lord, what's our part? What are you calling us to do? And would you grace us and would you strengthen us to just be as faithful as we can in our, not in our own strength, but according to the Spirit of God moving in us and working in us, that we would be faithful, God, to just hear and obey, to pray and obey, to be faithful with what you've called us to do. The pathway to the new, the next, the more of God is always faithfulness with the now of God. And that's the heart of this building renovation. And that's the heart of the legacy campaign. When we began to just brand this whole season of renovating and of even raising funds that were going to be necessary for accomplishing that vision, the provision for the vision. And the Lord put that word on our heart, legacy. And for the next 6 weeks, we're going to preach into this, and we're going to ask God, Lord, what does it look like as men, as a man of God? What's it look like? As a woman of God, as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, as a minister of the gospel, what does it look like for us to leave a legacy? And how do we do it? We're going to dig into some things real practical, fueled by spiritual truths, to say, Lord, how do we do this? And in the places where maybe we've stumbled or we've failed or we've fallen short, Lord, in this season, thank you for the grace that you care too much. You care so much, God, about what you're doing in a big picture, in a big sense, that you're extending grace to us. You'll help us to see some of those things, and you'll strengthen us to begin to do what you would have us to do, that we might leave a legacy of faithfulness to another generation. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And this facility that we have, that we're privileged now to be renovating, we only have it because of the faithfulness of a previous generation, the generosity of a previous generation. What will the next generation look back and have possession of, or have opportunity to steward? What ministries, what businesses, what legacy of faithfulness in marriage or family, what character, what will they have to look back and say, we're so thankful for the people that came before us. Before we finish this morning, I want you to take a moment and just watch this video that our team produced, just to highlight a little bit of the history of our church. And to give honor where honor is due, as we're looking forward and we're running our race, to be reminded that we're only running our race because of the faithfulness of someone else to hand the baton off to us, to have preached the gospel with faithfulness in a way that we could respond. And for some of you, maybe this is the first time you're going to hear a little bit more about the history of the church that hopefully God is calling you to become a part of and calling you to unite with, to make a difference and to grow in your faith. And for some of you, you were there, you lived it, you know. These are the videos, the pictures, the images, everything that you see in this video are pictures of real people from this church over the years. And I'm so grateful for the legacy and the heritage of faithfulness that we have. Take a look at this video. You know, our church began in 1972 in what came to be known as the Jesus Movement. And what began as just a few college kids coming together for fellowship and Bible study and prayer and ministry to one another became this amazing church, this dynamic church, this movement that's been influencing and reaching our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ for almost 50 years now. And because of the passion for Jesus and the passion of that group to reach people with the gospel, their numbers grew. It caused for them to have to seek God and trust God for where they would meet and how they would meet and the provision for acquiring those places. And it led that group to seek God and renovate a car dealership on 23rd Street. And eventually they outgrew that location, had to once again seek God for the provision to build the building on Michigan Street, which now serves as Veritas Christian School.
And from there, the church continued to grow, which caused the leadership at that time to take a big step of faith and acquire this land.
When this facility was originally built, I was on the building committee. We were looking for property to build on. Over a course of time, I was approached by a realtor who had this property. Wakarusa was a dirt road. When we moved to Lawrence in 1983, it was called Drag Strip Road. And they did Friday night races down the street out here. And it was literally a cornfield. There was nothing out here besides farmhouses around. And they'd had it for sale for a while and offered us basically a really, really good deal on the 10 acres. And it was such a good deal that a year later, the realtor came back and offered us double what we paid for it to buy it back, because they could start to see some of the potential for this piece of property. Obviously, we didn't sell it.
So now, 30 years later, it's amazing to look back and just see how faithful God was to lead us to a strategic location in our city, which is now surrounded by growth and development and homes and families. And He positioned us right here on purpose with these 10 acres. We have room to grow and expand and dream about what's possible for us to make a difference in our community.
Having grown up in this church, I've gone here since I was a child. I remember when we built this building and when we moved here, and remember even the excitement then of when we came here, when this building was first built, sitting in our seats and thinking, oh my gosh, this place is massive, and being grateful and in awe of it at the time and as a child, and then to see it kind of get used, which you want. If the carpet's not getting worn out, that means people aren't coming. My hope is that we're always replacing the carpet. I hope we're always repainting the walls. I hope we're always getting a new projector, redoing the parking lot. If we just stop, I just don't think that's what God would have for us.
Well, in recent years, the Lord has really been bringing a big vision to the leadership of Rev City Church. And one of the things that the Lord really highlighted as one of the first significant steps of faith in this season that we were called to take was bringing renewed excellence to our existing facility.
I came on staff full time in April of 2016. And in April of 2016, we started working on this project.
Comforting to know that we have an eldership, we have a lead pastor and staff that take very seriously how we steward what God has given us, and that the elders and Pastor Thomas would sit together and pray and see God and really press in and then not move until there's unanimity in the decisions they're going to make related to every decision that they make, but specifically to this renovation.
Even just to see like Pastor Thomas's door like halfway closed, but you can peek in and you can see all the color samples on the floor, all the carpet samples, which is so funny, but it's also so encouraging that he takes that much pride in how this church is gonna be a ministry point for Lawrence, for the surrounding area. He takes it seriously, and I think that's really awesome. The leadership here is really pressing in and trying to make the best decisions we can possibly.
So good stewardship, it's biblical. I can look at Haggai, I've got it pulled up, Haggai 1, verse 2. Three, a message from God of the angel armies. The people procrastinate. They say this isn't the right time to rebuild my temple, the temple of God. Shortly after that, God said more, and Haggai spoke it. How is it that it's the right time for you to live in your fine new homes while the home, God's temple, is in ruins?
God's house is worth it. You know, the scriptures talk about God admonishing his people. It's like, you have houses that you live in that are well taken care of, but look at my house. And we don't need to be legalistic about that, but we need to take care of God's house. And if we can do that in an excellent way, which is what we should do, because God is worthy of that, and financially sound, faith-filled, then I think we need to step into those things.
And so for us as elders, we began to see in unity, this is time. It's time to refresh, revitalize, repaint, recarpet.
We're really, really grateful to have the opportunity to work in God's house and to steward this facility and bring it to a renewed level of excellence that it once had. And when this place was built in 1990, it was legit. And just like any home that was built in 1990, if you bought a home right now that, you know, had been largely not updated in 30 years, it would be time for Chip and Joanna Gaines to come to town and put the gloves on.
We remodel our bathrooms. We get new cabinets and countertops in our kitchens. We repaint our house. We get new shingles on our roofs. We do these things. We take care of our own
resources and our own assets, it's almost shameful that we wouldn't do the same thing for the Lord's house. This isn't my house, it's not your house, it's the Lord's house. And by taking care of His house, we honor Him. I believe we honor Him, and I believe we show Him that we are grateful for what He's given us.
It's just exciting. People feel the same way about it as they would their own home if they're undergoing a renovation in their kitchen or something like that. Like, it's exciting. Like, growth is exciting. Renovation is exciting. New construction is exciting. It's messy, but it's exciting.
One of the opportunities that I've had is to be on the construction team, as I call it, to get to weekly meet with Pastor Thomas and Brent, who is our general contractor, just to be able to pray and consider each decision, think it through, get wisdom from engineers or other people, architects, so that we make the best decision possible for the finances that we've been given toward this project, for the ministries that are involved and it will affect for this project.
As a member of the congregation, not as a staff person, as a member of a congregation, that gives me great peace to know that everything is prayerfully considered, it's thought through. We've even had to back up a few times and say, you know what, that's falling short of what God has called us to move forward. And so let's make the next step. Let's press in.
The condition of any facility, it speaks a message. Whether it's a hole in a wall or some torn carpet or carpet stains or a cabinet that's wonky, won't close right, whatever it might be, it sends a message. Whether it's brand new carpet, brand new paint, brand new cabinets, these all send messages. And how I might interpret that message could be different from someone else. But someone might see that carpet, they might see that hole in the wall and they think, well, if that's how they take care of this building, how well are they going to take care of my kids when I drop them off? How well are they going to take care of my kid on a Wednesday night? It sends a message. So good stewardship, it's full circle. It's not just about that hole in the wall, but it's about how people receive it and interpret that hole in the wall.
The people that continue to choose to come to church here at Rev City amidst the dust, amidst the wires and all of that, it's pretty amazing. It truly is God's handiwork in all of this.
The renovation on the outside is in a lot of ways indicative of what's happening in our church family on the inside.
It creates an excitement that is contagious, and the evidence of that is that more and more people are coming to the church.
If you would have told me like a year ago that we would have as many kids as we do now in our ministry on Sunday morning, I don't know if I would have believed it, because it felt to me at the beginning like the renovation, we need more space for who we have now. But really, when you think about it, it's we need more space for who we are going to have.
People are passing by and seeing the signage, seeing the new awning, seeing the front glass. All those small things to us are significant to the people that are driving by on a weekly basis. And to see that, it's hard not to get excited.
And you can already see that happening. You can already see rooms, you know, getting filled up with children each week, the sanctuary getting filled up with people ready to worship God.
The renovation is just, it's a new beginning. God's breathing, so He's breathing and He's moving. And it's not just in the renovation where our numbers are up.
Every week, the numbers in our children's ministry go up, the numbers in our congregational attendance go up, the numbers in life group attendance going up significantly, I mean almost doubling compared to last semester, which is amazing. It's hard not to be excited about something like that.
It represents the new life that we're experiencing, the new growth that we're experiencing, seeing just a new move of the Lord and His presence and His Holy Spirit.
It just means that we're reaching more people and we're bringing in our community. It's about changing a city. It's about getting people, getting the word of God in people's hearts and minds every day, and so that they can go out and start talking to people.
Now, when someone drives down Wakarusa, there's just a snippet of a reflection on the outside on our property of what's happening on the inside.
I definitely think this renovation process has helped us move forward in our vision to reaching our city. Our standard through this entire process has not been opulence, but excellence. We just believe we want to give our best to the Lord's house.
So I think it's exciting when we get an opportunity to take what God has given us, steward it well, and the natural progression of that is going to be that we're going to have to improve walls. We're going to have to knock down walls. Technology is constantly changing and evolving. We've got to keep up with that to present a unique way for people to hear and receive the gospel. If that causes us to be able to share the gospel differently, that's going to draw more people to Christ, then I think we need to get behind that.
You know, when I
I think about what it means to leave a legacy, I am just so grateful for those who have gone before us, who paved the way for us to have this land and to have this facility because they sought the Lord and they prayed and they obeyed and they were faithful and generous.
It's hard to put into words to express what it means to see, you know, all of this, you know, happening at the church. You know, having grown up in this building, I mean, I was baptized right back there in that baptismal, and to see a place that means so much to me and to see a renewed excellence be applied, just a lot of care. There's a lot of history in this building. There's a lot of love, a lot of life that's happened. And
when I think of God's faithfulness and the legacy that has really brought here, I think of the past generations and the future generations to come. So the past generations, I mean, just a group of college students meeting at a house, coming together and saying, seeking God's will for their time and their place in history, and seeing how that has grown to what this is today.
It's a tremendous honor, because I can only imagine the amount of prayer and spending time with the Lord and making hard decisions, faith decisions that required sacrifice. I think about our kids here that are getting to experience the fruit of generations before us, and it's just amazing.
And Hebrews talks about how we now run our race surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people who have gone before us in the faith. And it's encouraging to know that we're building upon a legacy of faithfulness and obedience and a hunger to see God move and to see people's lives touched and changed by the power of the love of Jesus.
Yeah, come on, give the Lord a hand. So 1 Corinthians 3 says this, in verse 10, by the grace God has given me, Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, and he says, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building upon it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one who already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're not about building buildings, we're about building the kingdom. We're not about filling a room with people, we're about changing a city for Jesus Christ. That's our legacy. That's what God's inviting us to. You know, as I was preparing to speak on legacy for the next couple months, and one of the first things I did is I looked into the definition of the word legacy, and I was astounded by what I found. I was working on my phone, just taking some notes, and I just typed in definition of the word legacy, and I was so astounded by what came back. I screenshotted it, and shared it with the sound booth and asked them if they would show it to you this morning. Legacy, an amount of money or property left to someone in a will. Is that really what it is? I think that is the most flawed definition. I think that the fact that that's what the world thinks legacy is, that's a big time statement about why the world is in the condition that it's in. I mean, really, is that what it's about? That the legacy that I'm leaving is an amount of money in a bank account or some brick and mortar on a piece of dirt somewhere? How many of you know it's so much bigger and broader and deeper and wider and more significant and important than that? We need a legacy of faithfulness to God and faithfulness to our spouses and faithfulness to our children and faithfulness to the call of God and faithfulness to our church and faithfulness to the work that God's called us to. Those are the kinds of legacies that we need to be passing on to our children, of the character and the nature of Christ expressed through the way that we treat one another. It's so much more than that. Listen, real legacy is not what we leave for people. It's what we leave in people. Real legacy is not what we leave for people, it's what we do for people. I'll say it this way, what you leave in people's hearts is more important than what you leave in their hands. Psalm 90 verse 12 says this, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I'm just telling you, life is fleeting. Young people, hear me this morning. Don't delay. Don't wait. Don't buy into that lie and push off the call of God or the dream of God and go and live for yourself or go and live in the world and just think that at some time you'll come back. Get after chasing after Jesus and chasing after his call upon your life today. Don't delay. Begin to build the legacy that God's called you to build. Those of us who are a little older and advancing in age, come on, let's ask God to do this for us. God, teach us to number our days. Let us be mindful, Lord, that there's just a short time, a brief time that you've given us to be on this earth, to live out the thing that you've put in our heart and to make an influence and to make a difference in the lives of others. And you know, as a pastor over the years, I've had the privilege and the honor of officiating many funerals. And some funerals are a celebration of the impact and the difference that that man or woman of God made in the lives of many people, and many people gather around. There's so many stories of how that person, that man or that woman influenced and impacted and invested in the family and the friends and the coworkers that we have to kind of whittle it down and kind of summarize some things or limit the number of people who are able to stand and to share. And then there are other funerals that we do where there's not as much to say. And I don't think it's a bad idea to just kind of look ahead and allow yourself, especially with that passage right there, just kind of supporting. Lord, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And for us to just look ahead and think ahead and say, what will people say about you? What will people say about me when that day comes calling for you, comes calling for me? That's what legacy is all about. The life that we live today, the decisions and the choices that we make today matter. And if on that day when they gathered around and they were forced to use one word to summarize your legacy, the impact, the difference that you made in the lives of others, I just want to ask you, just take a moment, just think about this. What would you want that word to be? Really, take a moment, just think, what would be a word or two or three that you think would be words that you would hope that when that day comes for you, people would look back and say about you? Faithful, committed, generous, present, sacrificial. Just a few words that come to my mind. The life that I'm living today, the choices that I'm making and who I'm living for, and what's motivating me are shaping the legacy that I'll leave, the legacy that you'll leave. I want to encourage you with something today. It's never too late to begin to do the right thing. And if today you're in this place and there would maybe be a different word, we sang that song this morning, that there's a better word. There's a better word and there's still time. If you're not dead, God's not done. And there's an opportunity today in this place, in this moment, in this hour, in the presence of God to realize, Lord, there's some things that I need to get back on track. I've been living for myself, or I've been kind of off base a little bit, or I haven't been pursuing or chasing the dream of God for my life. And thank you today, Lord, that this message and in your presence, Lord, you are leading me and challenging me, bringing conviction by the Holy Spirit to get back on track so that I, when it's all said and done, will leave a legacy that's worth remembering and worth speaking about. Would you stand to your feet this morning and let's respond to God and let's commit ourselves and open our hearts this morning. Listen, if you're here this morning and you want to leave a godly legacy, a legacy that makes a difference, that makes an impact, that hands a baton of faithfulness or hands a baton of faith and courage and strength onto another generation, come on, if that's what you want to be about with your life, and if that's the church that we want to be together, can we just lift our hands before God and say, Lord, that's what we desire, use us. And Lord, any of us who have fallen short of that, Lord, we thank you today, God, that you would just show us, God, those ways that maybe that we have missed the mark or we've gotten off track. And I thank you today for your grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And I thank you today, Lord, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but that the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit shines a light. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to us because he wants to heal things in us. And I thank you today, Lord, any of us who have fallen into that trap of selfishness or whatever it might be that's kept you or is at risk of causing you to live a life that's beneath God's very best, beneath the legacy that he desires for you to hand off to your kids and hand off to others around you. Lord, we thank you today for the courage and the grace, Lord, to just say, Lord, come and help me. Forgive me, God. Forgive us, God. We repent, Lord. And we thank you today, God, for beginning to give us fresh grace and fresh strength, Lord, to begin to live in a way that's pleasing to you and to begin to build a lasting heritage of faith and faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for men of God standing in faithfulness, Lord, to the call of God upon their life. Thank you for women of God, Lord, and young people, Lord, standing in faithfulness to the things that you've called them to do and be in the name of Jesus. And lastly, before we sing this song and dismiss, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here this morning and you need to respond to the free gift of salvation, who is Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you once served God, you once lived for God, maybe you grew up in the church, but for whatever reason, you're far from God today. If that's you, I believe that you are not here by accident. You are here because of the heart of a good father who loves you too much to leave you where you're at today, and he's calling you back home. His arms are open wide to you this morning, and he says, come home, son. Come home, daughter. Run into my arms. And this morning, if that's you, or maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and experienced what it feels like to have the weight of guilt and sin and shame removed off of your shoulders so that you can begin to run that race that we've been speaking about today. Come on, if that's you, you fit in either of those camps, don't delay. Lift your hand high towards heaven this morning and say, that's me, I'm responding, and I need you, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of my sins. And I thank you, Jesus, for hope for my future. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people, many hands going up around this room. And thank you for what those hands being lifted represent, hearts that are turning towards God, hearts that are turning towards God's call and purpose and plan for their lives. And so come on, church, you know what's coming. We're going to pray this with these precious people. You can put your hands down if you want. We pray this with you for a couple of reasons. One is a sign of support for you. We want to come alongside you and begin to encourage you and strengthen you and help you to grow in your faith journey. And two is because it reminds us of our need for a Savior. Come on, we never graduate from grace. I need Jesus today as much as I did when I was lost as a goose. And so come on, let's pray this with everything we have. Come on, church, with everything you've got. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you that life. And I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, because of the cross of Jesus, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, someone ought to celebrate that this morning. Because of Jesus, we'll never be the same. Come on, let's sing. And then Pastor Eddie will come and dismiss us.